Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, and thankfully, a slow week where nothing happened.
Another slow week in the UFC.
Yes.
I like Conor McGregor's keeping his head down, too.
Yeah, Conor McGregor staying out of trouble, not boycotting an entire state. Thankfully, Ronda Rousey is not back in action, and Michael Bisping is not still your middleweight champ.
Interesting week. What do we want to start with? I figure everybody's talking about Ronda Rousey.
So we should ignore it.
We've seen all of the mainstream info. I want to talk about it, obviously.
So do I.
To the point that I've had a lot of really mixed feelings about this over the past day and a half or so, because we hear Ronda's coming back. And I think if you've listened to the episodes of this show, you know that I probably wouldn't have picked a title match as her first match back. I really didn't like that. I didn't like her attitude when Miesha Tate was able to win the title from Holly Holm, essentially saying, oh, now that the title's somewhere where I can win it, I want to come back.
Right.
Which was what we dealt with before. I think I've come around a little more in the past day and a half or so. And I think one of the reasons is because we're hearing a little bit of talk from Cyborg, who I've called out in the past for being unreasonable. But if you go to her Facebook page, did you see the post that she put up when she found out about the news?
I did not, no.
She had a really good post kind of laying things out and, you know, basically saying, hey, look, Ronda Rousey's been gone for over a year. She left a bad, bad loss is what made her leave the cage. She hasn't been here. For her to come in and get a title shot is BS, which, you know what, 100% agree. I agree it's BS, but let's go back to the business side of things. And you can see in the past day and a half, and probably a lot of this it has to do with how I've kind of changed my feeling a little bit. You can't deny the celebrity of Ronda Rousey. And I've said before, I said somebody like Miesha Tate or Holly Holm or maybe even Nunes could come out and maybe eventually be that way. The problem is none of them have had the title as long as Ronda was able to hold her title. None of them had that opportunity to become a media darling. As soon as Ronda said she's back in the cage, everybody's racing for that news in whatever sector they're in, whether it's ESPN, whether it's entertainment venues, whether it's MMA sites. They're all racing to be the first to deliver that content to their audience, and they're doing that because the content delivers for them. And that content right now is Ronda Rousey. So I think the decision was probably right. I do respect Cyborg's opinion in this. And there's one more thing that I really kind of think pushed me over the edge here. And again, you have to take a lot of these things with a grain of salt, especially from the source. But one of the things that's been thrown about is if Ronda's able to get her title back, which I don't think is a gimme by any means.
No, I don't. I mean, we can break down this fight as we get closer. I'm not normally one to shun Vegas, as those palaces are not built on them making the wrong decision. But I do not think this is a gimme fight at all.
Oh, I don't think. What are the odds? Are the odds heavily in favor of Ronda?
She's 230, right?
Well, but let's not forget those odds aren't always about who's going to win the fight. It's who's going to get the most money bet.
Right.
And if you want people to bet on Ronda, you're going to have to put Nunez, you're going to have to put some certain odds in.
Yep.
For this fight to work and money to move both ways.
I think
ways.
She's plus 140. And Rousey is negative 230 at this point.
So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how the fight in and of itself plays out, because by no means is this a gimme for Amanda Nunes. But to be honest, we're looking at this because of Ronda Rousey and seeing where things may or may not go. The thing with Ronda Rousey is if you put her in a title match, which they've done, and they've decided it's one of their big cards of the year. This is their special Friday night event. This is a tough card to sell, essentially. We're on a different night of the week. We're right in front of New Year's. I think there might be some bowl games this year, too. I forget how they move all those things around.
Well, I forgot what happened last year, because remember it was a cluster last year this card and the bowl games.
The bowl games were moved, and so, I mean, we'll have to look at that schedule, but you've essentially set her up, hey, you got to carry this card, and I get that, and she can probably do it. The other thing you've set up is the fact that she's either going to lose to Amanda Nunes, which helps solidify Amanda Nunes, or she's going to win. She could conceivably walk right in there, throw Amanda Nunes on the ground and sub her out. Let's not forget, for all of the beating she took at the hands of Holly Holm, she's still one of the craziest submission artists in the UFC if she knows how to get somebody to the ground. I'm sorry, if she takes somebody to the ground.
Sure.
I know she knows how to do it. she's been very resistant in the past. Maybe it's taken her over a year off to go, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to go in and take somebody to the ground. I'm not going to pity pat them with my hands and my terrible boxing that everybody talked up. I'm going to go in. I'm going to take people down. I'm going to choke them out. I'm going to go get my belt back. You do that, and you've got Ronda Rousey, world title holder. At that point, if you're the UFC, you can now tell her what to do, essentially. Of course, there's negotiating. Of course, she holds a lot of cards. But at that point, if you want to make the Cyborg fight and Cyborg can make the weight, you make the fight. Ronda, you got the belt. You've got to defend the belt. You can't necessarily make that fight right now with Ronda Rousey, even though that fight probably makes a lot of sense from the fan perspective and to what people want to see. Again, I have to call Cyborg out, though. You got to make the weight at some point here. You can't keep fighting catchweight fights. You can't keep fighting 140 here, and I think I can make the weight there. You got to make the weight consistently if you want that fight against Ronda Rousey, especially if Ronda Rousey walks back in and gets her belt back.
I do not disagree, although the thing about the Cyborg post that I find particularly truthy is that unlike what Connor is doing, Connor's going and fighting, was going to fight RDA, turned into Nate Diaz, turned into Nate Diaz again, turns into Eddie Alvarez.
Everywhere, all the time. That's what Conor McGregor's been doing.
Well, and he's fighting named fighters. She's fighting nobody. So I don't, like, going down to one, she has to make the weight if she wants to make this fight. I totally agree. But I don't know that she needs to suffer through that extra 5 pounds for fighters we've never heard of.
So I get what you're saying there. So,
because the most important part to me from a marketing perspective was getting Cyborg in front of UFC fans to see what she can do.
Okay.
And she's torn through every no-name that they put in front of her.
Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily blame her for not killing herself to make the weight, so to speak.
I just think it's going to be, we've known for 4 years, this is going to be a tough weight cut for her. Maybe even 5 years.
But here's my issue. If you want to keep calling out somebody and that person for such a long time was the champ, and at this point they could likely be the champ. I mean, let's be honest. Ronda Rousey's not going to necessarily get in there to fight Cyborg excitedly. She may take the fight. She may be a competitor. She may want to shut Cyborg up to a certain extent, but she's not going in there with any illusions about that fight. That's going to be a rough, hard fight for her. And in that situation, you're only going to get her essentially in there if she's the champ and she's defending the belt. You've beaten the best. You've beat the top 10 in the division. You know, maybe she has to beat Holly again. Maybe not. Holly's fallen off to the point. I don't know if those two are going to be in the same circle if she gets her belt back. You've got to fight the champion. And for so long, Cyborg was calling out Ronda, who was the champion. And honestly, if this fight gets made, it probably only gets made with Ronda Rousey as the champion. That all being said, you can't let somebody into their first championship fight without ever making the weight. And she's not made the weight yet.
Which is why I have this hot take for you.
Okay, all right. Spicy.
Hot take is that Amanda Nunes wins, beats Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey goes up to 45 because they now have a division at 45, as Cyborg alluded to. She's been holding that belt, quote-unquote, hostage. They start at 145 division.
They have a 45?
Well, not in UFC, but Invicta they do.
Which so they is, just swap
so they
them
just
all around?
Move everybody over, just like they did with 135.
Okay.
And then Ronda and Cyborg fight at 145.
Yeah, but
because if Amanda Nunes beats Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey's not fighting again, I think, if Amanda Nunes beats
maybe,
her.
Maybe.
Depends on the fight. But if she gets beat up again, Ronda Rousey's done. She's going to go.
But if she does fight again, if she gets beat, it's certainly not going to be against everybody else who's. I mean, because then you end up looking like Anderson Silva, where Michael Bisping's beating you. You know what I mean? Like
Bisping is the world champion.
Prior to that, he was not the world champion, right? So don't think like I'm disrespecting Michael Bisping. But if you
it sounded like, mate.
If you 8 years ago said Michael Bisping was going to beat Anderson Silva, somebody would beat you to death outside of a Buffalo Wild Wings, right?
Probably Anderson Silva. He was
probably
crazy back then.
Anderson Silva. My point is, if she loses to Amanda, there's a chance she could lose to lots of other people in this division as the division continues to evolve. And again, we go back to the start of this division. We talked about how Ronda is on the front end of this innovation, and eventually the talent is going to catch up to her.
If you are losing to anybody at 35, you don't want to go up to 45 and fight Cyborg. She hasn't wanted to fight Cyborg for a long time. And again, I'm not blaming her. That's okay. You were the champion in your division, and you were beating everybody in front of you, and I don't think the champion should necessarily have to chase fights. You don't, you know, Conor McGregor has spoiled a lot of people thinking fighters, he's a fighting champ. He's going everywhere. He's fighting everywhere. Up, down, left, right, to the side. Anywhere but Vegas, essentially, at this point. That's not normal. And I commend, and I have told you, I wasn't the biggest Conor fan. The fact that he's done what he's done, I become a pretty big fan of Conor. Look, you've got to respect that. But that's a different standard. That's not necessarily a standard the other fighters are at this point. Maybe Conor's changing the game to a point where we go, oh, fighters all have to do that now. I don't think we're necessarily there yet.
I don't think so either, and I would say the difference is Conor is still a champ at 45.
Yes.
So he has some cards that, I mean, Ronda's going to pull eyeballs, and you saw it yesterday. It nuked the internet.
Yes.
I mean, Fox and Colin Cowherd might as well have stopped Twitter for a good 15 minutes as people waited for 2:30 to happen.
Synergy.
To figure out what this thing is going to be.
How well was that done, by the way, with a partner right there?
Perfectly, actually.
Nobody knew Colin Cowherd had even left ESPN until yesterday.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well done.
So my point is, she's going to bring the eyeballs in. She loses this fight, though. She loses a lot of the shine. She loses a lot of her ability to pull. And I think the last thing for her to do is that fight, regardless of what weight you want to do it at. Are you going to do it at 140 where there's no belt and we're just seeing those two fight? Maybe that's what we're doing. But if she loses...
Like old school Chuck Liddell and Wanderlei Silva?
Yes.
We kept trying to get those guys to win. Finally, they just lost enough. You're like, okay, just fight each other. We just want to see the damn fight.
I don't
fight.
Care what the weight is. Just do whatever.
See, I don't see her walking in to a cyborg fight like that. I don't, because it's going to be interesting. Amanda Nunes is a tough fighter. Amanda Nunes could beat Ronda Rousey 10 different ways, and Ronda can beat her 10 different ways. But if she loses that fight, if Ronda Rousey loses that fight, the one thing we'll all be talking about, no matter the reason, won't matter what happened in that fight, the one thing we will all be talking about is like, oh, mentally she's done. She's done.
Well,
mentally she's done. It doesn't matter how she loses. It doesn't matter how she loses. Mentally she's done, and that's why she lost. That's what we will be talking about on December 31st if she loses that fight. It won't matter if mentally she's 100%. If mentally she's all the way back in the game, it won't matter, because we're going to say mentally she's done because she's taken such a long layoff. Everybody's talked over and over and over again about that loss, and we've seen three different champions since she's been gone, and we've not felt that she's become more dominant. Well, look how dominant she was able to be. We felt that these fighters have gotten better and better and taken away that shield of impenetrability that she had mentally over her opponents. So we're going to talk about her mental game no matter what happens, no matter how she loses, if she loses on December 30th.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I feel Amanda's got a better skill set. Amanda's sharper right now because she's been busier. And I think if you look at, and I know this is a bit of MMA math, but if you look at how far Travis Brown has fallen after going under the Edmund camp from when he was a contender to now, he's not even a force to be reckoned with in the heavyweight division. I would say that same sort of skill set or loss thereof is rubbing off on Ronda. And if she doesn't do what you just said, if you go and look at her record, she can beat you exactly two ways. She can beat you if she catches you and can get you on the ground. And
well, then she can beat you 10 different ways once you're on the ground.
What I mean is, like, if she knocks you down, she can KO you, right?
Yeah.
She's done that three times. But more importantly, she's going to sub you. If she doesn't go in there and try and win this thing in 14 seconds with a submission, I really feel like most of the people in that division know how to beat her if she's dumb enough to want to stand up there and pitter-pat you for three rounds.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing, is nobody ever wanted to be aggressive. Whether we saw Misha Tate come the closest in their last fight, and we talked a lot about that fight, and we talked a little bit about, who was the other fight? I told you, she got knocked out quick.
Betch Gohea.
She had the perfect game plan, just didn't quite work that night. And I know it sounds silly because it was like a minute long.
But what you're saying is, if you go back and watch this fight, and we talked about this a little bit last week and the week before, if you go back and Ken called it out the day after it happened, Betch catches her with an uppercut that rocks Ronda. Mm-hmm. Ronda was just close enough that her body took over and she was able to finish that fight in 14 seconds. But you could see right there what you need to do to beat her. And I think if she decides that she needs a warm-up round on December 30th,
that could be rough.
It's going to be a bad night for her.
Well, let's go back to our other buddy who's been out of the cage a long time, John Jones. And he's only had one fight in the last, year and a half at this point. He didn't look great in that fight, and he certainly needed a warm-up round against OSP.
Against OSP. And, you know, interesting, I guess I had missed this. After the show last week, we were looking at the rankings when we were talking about that. Like, Jones isn't even ranked.
He's not ranked right now?
Not
well,
even.
I think that's because of the
you
suspension.
Said that last week, but, like, I just think it's interesting when we go back to July when Dana's like, oh, this thing will be over soon, and they pushed back his hearing last week, and he's not in the rankings, and he's really not in the media spotlight. So I feel like there's a reason Brock changed his lawyers this week. There's stuff.
Well, I mean, he's got that Goldberg challenge he's going to have to deal with soon.
Yes. Well, because now we know who's next.
That's why. You have a lot of terrible wrestling fans that are your friends on Facebook, by the way.
Which is why I put that up there, because I knew.
This is an aside.
I knew.
I've been trying to stay more on topic in the show, but this is an aside. You have some people that are really fans of terrible wrestling. Look, Goldberg. Look, he was a phenomenon. He was great during his time, but he sucks. And he used like three moves a match. And then some guy called it out. And then some other guy posted a list of all of Goldberg's moves, like in the history of time. And I swear to God, three of those moves were drop. Like the word drop was a move, and it was on there three times.
Which is likely, whoever that is, I don't know off the top of my head who that was, likely just pulled it out of a WCW video
or
game.
Some Wikipedia or something. Yeah, because they all had weird numbers next to them.
Right.
Like, here's Goldberg's moves. Yeah, if you play them as a video game. All right. So Brock's got different lawyers because of Goldberg and John Jones.
Yes, that's exactly my point.
That's
there.
Where
but
we're
my point
this.
Is, like, there's something going on with both of these tests, and we're going to have to see what happens. And again, to circle this back, Jones being out as long as he was prior to the OSP fight, as bad as he looked in the OSP fight, and then out again.
Yes.
I mean,
we're moving past him in that division too, and we're close to that with Ronda. It'll be interesting when she comes back now.
And you know, we're not quite at the point at 205 that you're seeing guys that, quote unquote, I'd never heard of that then all of a sudden become contenders, but we're close.
It's going to be soon.
Once we get through Rumble Cormier, we're going to need to find some fresh blood. And as that stuff, those guys, I should say, come into that division, you're going to be like, 2 years ago, I didn't know what a Wonder Boy Thompson is. And now I'm like, I can't wait to see him fight Tyron Woodley. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen at 205, and it's going to pass Jones right by. The point of all that being, Ronda does not get a five-minute vacation on December 30th.
No.
She better come in there ready to fight, because if she doesn't, she will lose that fight.
Yes, it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how things work out as she gets back in the cage. What do you think of what's now become somewhat of a, I don't know if it's a negotiating tactic or it's just how people start to react. And this is always going to happen because I've talked a lot about the business side of UFC. But Juliana Pena is not happy, obviously, that Ronda Rousey's getting the title shot coming back from a year off. She's the top contender, you would say otherwise, right?
I would 100% say that. However,
she called it quote unquote BS.
She did, but we've spent 20 minutes telling you why it's not BS, because I'm going to tell you, and this should be your litmus test as this sport continues to expand and you find more friends in your ecosystem that watch this sport. Let's, on November 12th, which will arguably be the biggest fight, if it stays together, will be the biggest fight card this year in the UFC.
Bigger than 200?
Yes.
Okay.
So while you are gathered around your house, Buffalo Wild Wings, Dave and Buster's. You know, you've got people around you. I want you to look at any one of them and ask them who Juliana Pena is.
Right.
And they will have zero idea. And that is why when Ronda comes back, she can't fight a nobody. And I don't mean Juliana Pena is a nobody in the definitive sense, but she's got to come back and fight for the title, because that's what would have happened had she done it in December or January of 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 16, respectively.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about her saying she wants to sit out now? I mean, this is basically going the Jose Aldo route of Jose Aldo said earlier this week, he's just going to start losing on purpose.
Right. And look, Jose Aldo, I think, has more clout than Juliana Pena. And I just think
he's got a belt.
He does have a belt. It's an interim belt, but he does have a belt. I just think at that division, there isn't the star power to sit out.
So Juliana Pena waiting for a title shot?
They're going to pass right by her.
She's not even saying she wants to wait for a title shot. She says she's considering leaving the UFC, though. I don't know what she's going to do. I mean, that's the one thing.
This is the thing. Like, Jose Aldo has other things that he can do. And if you have other things you can do, you can play Texas Hold'em like that and meet, as he met this week with Dane and the guys, and said, hey, look, this is what I'm planning on doing. It's your job to talk me out of this plan. I don't know enough about Juliana Pena's outside life to know what those things would be, but you better have a backup plan because, much like the NFL, this organization is becoming the 1% of the 1%, and not everybody gets in there if your name isn't CM Punk, so don't send me your emails about CM Punk because Juliana Pena is not CM Punk. She doesn't draw the eyeballs like that. So if you're becoming an elite fighting organization and you want to sit out in hopes that you can go to Bellator or World Series of Fighting or wherever you want to go, A, they're not going to let you out of the contract to do that, and B, you better have a backup plan to that backup plan.
Pena said, quote, never in the history have I ever heard of somebody having a no-controversy, brutal knockout, then quit the sport, and then come back and get a title shot right away. The girl is mentally weak, and Amanda Nunes is going to effing knock her out and expose her ass. She's literally the worst fighter on the roster, and I can't stomach the fact that I'm not going to get the title shot. I don't know how they conduct business over there, referring to the UFC, but they're going to do what they want no matter what. So there's really not much I could do. Back to the drawing board, I guess. I don't know what she means by that, if she means she's leaving the UFC, but she's clearly upset. And this is probably something where, you know, guys, I get where she's coming from. And she was probably very close to a title shot because, again, I think we had probably moved to life without Ronda as far as the UFC was concerned. They tried to do some things with her and Miesha Tate. They wanted to make some things happen at 200. That didn't happen. Well, maybe Ronda here, maybe Ronda here, maybe Ronda here. What's interesting about the Ronda Rousey announcement, when I first heard it, I go, is this another maybe December thing? Because we really, everything had died down a lot with the Ronda Rousey talk. We had moved on. We started talking about Juliana Pena and going, does Miesha Tate get a rematch? She was really outclassed, but I don't know. Holly Holm, where is she? I mean, we had really started to talk about this division without Ronda Rousey and without concern to whether or not Ronda's coming back. But the caveat in all of that, every time we talked about it, tell me when Ronda's coming back and we can talk about her. Well, they booked her for a fight. They signed her for a fight. Now we're talking about her. Now she's going to walk into that title shot. If you're Juliana Pena, you could just simply be negotiating. Maybe you want that next fight. You know Cyborg isn't going to necessarily be able to make the weight. So, yeah, angle yourself in there. She's talking about beating Ronda's whole team. You know, the fact that Betch Kohara got a fight because she beat somebody on Ronda's team. She's like, well, I beat Ronda's whole team. So, does she want to fight me or not? She could just simply be angling in for that fight. Sure. We don't know. But it is kind of interesting to talk about that fact coming off this past week with Jose Aldo saying to get out of his contract, he's going to purposely lose fights, which I find very interesting. There's not a lot of guys who could get away with that. But I think Jose Aldo could, because you, like you said, Bellator, World Series of Fight, they would hire him knowing what happened at the end of the line there.
Sure they would. And it would be interesting if he sticks to that if his next fight is Conor McGregor.
Well, that's the fight he wants. Of course he wouldn't stick to it then.
If you say so.
What do you think? He's just going to lie down like Kevin Nash style?
Yes, exactly.
A lot of 90s WCW references in the show today.
Tons of them.
Right. And does he come out with a cattle prod?
Speaking of Conor McGregor, he had a very interesting week as he actually got to be in front of the commission this week, unlike John Jones, who was pushed back to November.
Yeah, a lot of people last week thought I was really harsh in saying, you got to sit the guy, don't you? Because, I mean, I really think he caught a break. He's not happy about it.
Apparently they thought you were harsh. I mean, like, this is, if you look at what...
Okay, but it doesn't... Go ahead. Let's set up what happened.
Well, if you look at this, what this was supposed to be, the Attorney General recommended a $25,000 fine and 25 days of community service and 5 hours of media training.
Media training for Conor McGregor.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
5 hours.
That's
though.
A lot of who is that guy?
Right, exactly. So then Lundvall, who I think this show and most other MMA shows is our favorite commissioner because he's number two on the crazy list of people on the commission, wanted Conor to pay $300,000.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the commission goes, we'll half that. So went from 25.
I love that he's insane, but he knows how to work his insanity in.
Right. Because
he probably is like, look, if I ask for like $150,000, they're going to say $75,000.
Right.
So I'm going to go to three and I'm going to get them to cut that in half and it's going to sound awesome.
So it went from $25,000 to $150,000, 5% of his disclosed pay for that fight. And Conor has said, I don't ever want to fight in Nevada again. Now, on the one side, I feel like, look, Conor, this wasn't you. This was no one's fault but your own. You are the one that hurled Monster Energy drink into a crowd of hundreds of people.
It's like a 2-pound projectile thrown by one of the top athletes in the world.
You did all this, right? So, like, on the one hand, I don't feel sorry for him. On the other hand, I know the actual implications. Conor McGregor very well could never fight in Nevada again, which would be very, very bad for their all-new arena in Vegas and the MGM Grand and all of those things, especially especially when it comes to the fight game, if your biggest star, Ronda being the variable at this point because she hasn't fought on December 30th, your biggest star goes, nah, fight capital, nah, not so much.
Okay, but what's interesting about this, there's a couple different things. I honestly, for the money Conor's making, the fact that he didn't have to sit down for New York, which is what he would have to do. I know it's Vegas, but Nevada State Athletic Commission, they decide to suspend you. That's honored across the board. You're certainly not walking into New York with your first event trying to get some kind of weird-ass exemption, which we've never heard of before. So let's just right. let's just put that out there. That wasn't going to happen. They could have sat his ass down, and they didn't do that. So he got away with something. Because the more we talked about it last week, I'm like, can you really not sit him down after this insanity? I mean, he could have really hurt somebody. That's a public event. That's a licensed media event, and you're licensed to fight for the state of Nevada when that all goes down. So can you really just let him not have a punishment? I honestly think that this was kind of a fair compromise. You hit him with a fine, but you hit him with a big fine. You go, you can't do that here. You can't put people's safety in danger. You can't act like this and get away with it with a slap on the wrist. And to do that to a guy like Conor McGregor, you've got to levy a big, fat fine. And I think they did that with the $150,000. Guy's not hurting. He's not skipping a meal because of that fine. Yeah, it sucks. But you know what? You didn't get sat down for New York. You're going to make a lot more money in New York than that $150,000. You're also going to make a lot more money because you get to keep fighting in this prime of your career and keep turning things around.
And the rumor is, guys, he made will have made $40 million in 2016.
And he's a guy who could make another $40 million next year and maybe another $40 million the year after that. But after that, no, he's going to hit the wall just like every other fighter does at some point. And right now, this is the prime of his career. You don't want to sit down for even 3 months, even 6 months if you're him. And I really think when you put that many people's safety in danger with what he did, I think he got away with something there, and they were able to lay a big fat fine on him but not sit him down. The other part of this about Vegas is you can say all you want, well, there's New York now and there's California and there's Texas and there's wherever else you want to go. Traditionally, they're able to pay the fighters on those gates, and those gates are always biggest in Vegas. That's where they sell the most tickets and make the most money on those tickets. In a town like Las Vegas, you get $20,000 for a ringside seat. You go to Cleveland, it's $1,500.
Sure.
It's $2,000. It's ridiculous money. You and I can't afford to buy that ticket, but it's not $20,000, which is some of the insanity you see when you're in Vegas. So they make a lot of money on those shows. So at some point, this isn't California. You can avoid California.
Yep.
And they've always been kind of.
Many fighters have.
Many fighters have. The UFC's always worked with their guys. Like, California's kind of screwed up. Sorry, guys. We don't know what they're doing. I don't know if you can skip out on Vegas. So I think at this point, Dana's simply not going to address it. Okay, we'll see what happens. Let's get New York out of the way. That's kind of the thing you have to do with Conor McGregor. Let's let this happen and figure out the rest there. Because all you do is you end up getting in a pissing match back and forth with Conor McGregor worrying about things that never happen. Like, Dana White has said again this week, Conor won't hold two belts. But guess what? He's not going into a press conference and going to argue about it with Conor McGregor or lay down the law with Conor McGregor. Because you know why? Conor might not have two belts right after that fight. A win is certainly not a given.
No. So I mean, I favor him against Alvarez, but yeah, it's not a given.
It's not a given. So I think the UFC has gotten to the point where, look, Conor's going to say what he's going to say. He's going to say it takes an army to grab. Why would you argue with him at this point? If he wins both belts, then you deal with it.
Right. Then you get into a meeting and you figure out what you're going to do.
And that feels like the modus operandi at this point with Conor McGregor. Like, okay, let's see what insanity he's yelling about. See what he actually does and how it affects us and how we need to stop that.
Well, and let's not forget, guys, everything is marketing. I know I say that a lot, but you know, part of this is making sure that it appears as if Conor is saying things that Conor wants to say. And so they might go into a back room and decide what Conor is going to do with this belt or belts, plural. And then he gets the ability to come out and call it on his own terms. And that's ultimately what his character and his brand is looking to do.
Right. And this could be something where I'm dumping the 145.
I don't need to fight those guys anymore. I don't want to fight those schlums. I want to fight Ferguson. I want Nurmagomedov. Right. I want, you know, and it's, you know, those guys can battle over this. He can pull the Ken Evans, right? Those guys can fight over the tiny man belt. I'm up right in the, you know, in the big
and he can go
now
back later and get it. I don't care how he does it. I just figure at this point it's wasted time, and Dana White, I think, has realized that, and he's well past it. So I mean, we can talk all day about, is he going to hold two belts? We can talk all day, is he going to fight in Vegas? Well, you know what? If they call him and they want him to fight in Vegas on the Super Bowl weekend card and he gets a big fight and he's going to make $100 million, he's going to fight. He's going to fight.
Yes. All right.
And you're telling me he's going to turn down a Floyd Mayweather call?
No.
Because that fight's in Vegas, son.
That fight is for sure in Vegas. That's for sure. All right. UFC 204. It was it's fun. Well, because it's like.
What are we unpacking, Eric?
I don't. Why? Well, because I didn't expect that fight to be as fun as that fight was.
Dan Henderson.
Michael Bisping. You know, I think everyone had. Between rounds one and rounds two had that thing wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And that is not at all what happened.
What I thought was interesting, and again, you can grab last week, listen to it again. Michael Bisping did all the dumb crap I told him not to do for the first round.
Uh-huh.
I said if he does that, he's going to die. He's going to die in there, and Dan Henderson's going to take the belt and run away with it, and the UFC's going to go, oh, crap.
Right.
Michael Bisping was able to do all the dumb stuff we said not to do in the first basically two rounds, catch a couple of those punches, and still come out later in the fight and win the fight. That was insane.
It was completely insane, especially after that first round where he caught two of them.
Yes. And he was circling still.
Right. Into the two of
them. Oh my God. Like he didn't want, dude, he was there at the first fight. Did he watch it?
Was he though?
Maybe that's the problem. He's like, I was there. And like somebody should have been like, no, bro, but watch the tape.
Well, and like, and you know, I think it was in between rounds one and two where his corner's talking to him, and you could clearly tell that Bisping has no idea what's going on. Like, he's clearly out
one to
on
two.
His,
yeah, I think it was 1-2.
Clearly out on his feet. You know, his body.
They were
just
probably like,
over.
I can't believe he's doing this again.
Right. Please stop circling. I love broccoli.
Okay,
get back in there, Bisping.
All right, but then you know, the one thing that I did think could happen is he could start to get in those later rounds, and you could see that Dan was kind of loading up for that big shot, which is all he really had. I don't blame him, but at a certain point, he wasn't able to kind of get that shot off anymore. And I think by the end of the fight, they said, what, Bisping outstruck him 3-1. And I get it. A lot of people were pissed. Like, look at the damage. Damage should be a factor. Always. Always. You should go, well, who really got beat up? But at a certain point, if you're just landing a couple big shots in the first couple rounds, and the other guy's beating the crap out of you, which Bisping did. He was landing like 2-1 eventually.
Well,
in this fight.
And I would say two bits of nuance here. This fight really comes down to two things. One, blood is not damage. Mm-hmm. Let's understand that. If people bleed at different intervals. Like some people bleed a lot, as Michael Bisping has a lot of scar tissue and he tends to bleed a lot, and he's done that throughout
his British.
And he's British and they tend to bleed a lot, as we've learned.
As George Washington
taught us. History, right? Two, we need to look at these rounds, I feel, in a little bit different manner. These are not street fights, guys. Mm-hmm. So if opponent A is beating the crap out of opponent B for 4 minutes and 40 seconds and then gets knocked down for 20 seconds in the end of that round, the round doesn't de facto to Dan Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scoring mechanism that happens there, but you don't wipe out the other 4 minutes and 45 seconds. It is a, you know, it's a scored
sport. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I thought you were talking more about the first rounds, but yeah.
No, the later rounds.
Oh, he knocked him down,
like
finally.
Like in that second round, like when he gets knocked down in the end of it, people are like, see, he won that round. No, he didn't win that round. He didn't win that round.
Oh, you don't think he won? You don't think that Henderson won the second round?
No, I don't think, because I don't think you can score the sport that way. That you don't. You take damage for 4.5 or 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
But see, what some people are arguing with, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but some people say he wasn't taking damage; he was just getting hit. I think getting hit has to be a score.
It's a score,
mechanism.
This is a scored sport. It's not. They're not trying to kill each other. And if this was boxing, you will watch 12 rounds of boxing where they pitter pat depending on their skill level, and you'll try and score it one way or the other.
And you'll tell you'll yell at people that he dominated,
right?
He dominated,
and you'll do that based
on shoulder rolls,
based on fight metrics. And if you look at fight metrics, this tells the story of the sport. Now, I am not saying on this podcast or any other podcast that fight metrics is the only way you should score this sport.
How many podcasts are you doing? Jeez,
lots of them.
All right.
But I will say that I feel you need to look at those rounds a little bit differently. And yes, if you want to score 1-10-8, we have a much different score on our hands. We have a draw, as a matter of fact. If two of the judges give 10-8 rounds to Henderson.
For the first round?
Yes. That didn't happen, but that could have happened. I would have allowed, you know.
Here's the interesting thing, and I know you don't want to get into the business of scoring the fight after the whole fight's over, but I certainly see a much bigger argument for 10-8 when you look at the way the 10-9 rounds turned out later in the fight. Does that make sense?
Sure.
But you didn't know that at the point you're scoring the first round. So I actually don't have any problem with 10-9 because that could have been the whole fight back and forth. Like, oh, another guy does that the next round. Another guy does that. Oh, wait, you know what? These last three rounds weren't really like that round.
Well, and in the last three rounds, Dan is out of gas.
Yes.
Dan has one punch to throw. Dan is not the better, more technical fighter in those fights. In those rounds, Bisping is the more technical fighter. And if you're scoring, I mean, the sport, when you go to decision, the sport comes down to mathematics. And if you win 3-2, seemingly regardless of score, of all things being equal, if it's 10-9, 10-9, 10-9, 10-9, 10-9, Bisping wins the fight.
Right. Yeah, I think Bisping won this fight. I thought it was very entertaining. I just loved, I was watching that first round. I'm like, Jesus, man, really? Like, really? Really? I feel like he downloaded the podcast and just said, F that guy. I'm going to do it anyways, which may happen. I don't know. How is our international distribution? You look at the metrics. I don't really look at those.
I'm sure.
Did he at least rate us on Google Play or iTunes?
On all of them is when we were
Did
rated.
He rate us on any of those? So,
yes.
So that was a fun fight. That clears a lot of things up in the middleweight division. Do you think Gegard is there? Because he's on the same card. So we talk immediately about Gegard Mousasi.
Well, and Gegard kind of just said, like, what do I have to start yelling? Like, what do I have to do to get attention as I just demolished Vitor Belfort and went up?
Vitor had that flurry. It was kind of interesting to watch that flurry. That's like that typical, oh, crap, Vitor's on point. He's gonna land something. He's going to be, and, you know, Gegard just kind of went, all right, okay, you got me a couple times. Going to keep moving forward.
And, you know, this is when you look at fighters like Gegard Mousasi or Gunnar Nelson who fight in that style where you really can't tell what's going. They don't get all raged up. They don't yell. They don't point.
When you saw the flurry, though, you had to imagine, oh, here, there's Vitor. Man, he's going to catch him somewhere. And it kind of went, Oh, Vitor's done.
Yep.
Oh, and here's Gegard's just still working toward him.
And that's all she wrote.
Yeah, TKO second round, right?
Yes, and so Vitor obviously drops. Gegard Mousasi probably goes into the top 10. I haven't looked at the rankings yet this morning, but probably goes into the top 5 out of the top 10. Is he the guy? No, I still think it's Jacare.
Jacare, okay. Yeah, Gegard's up in top 5 now. He jumped 4 spots there, so that's pretty awesome.
Who are you thinking?
Probably Jacare, but here's the problem. You watch that fights that night, you're like, oh, look at that other guy.
Those two fights have to flush themselves out for sure, but I think Jacare is the guy if he wins.
So, yeah, because we got Weidman and
And Romero, and you've got Rockhold and Jacare.
See, that's interesting. We'll have a little tournament here. So does Gegard get the fight? Because we're waiting on the other two guys for 1 month, which I wouldn't have a huge problem with. You could give the next fight and then the guy afterwards.
So Gegard and Bisping like January?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I can do that. It's October.
I'm okay with that.
Get them in January, and then however those guys flush themselves out, you could take the winner. We've got Rockhold, Jacare, right? And
yes.
Then Yoel and Weidman. So essentially you could have those two guys face each other very quickly, either on the same card or after that, probably after that. We've got a real contendership. I know that's not great because you let Gegard jump everybody simply by the fact of scheduling, but I think it gives us a great matchup and kind of shows us a little bit where Bisping is. Because, I mean, we talked about this last week. Other than the fact that he's fighting Dan Henderson, people are forgetting how old Bisping is at this point. And we weren't sure if he won Saturday, if he wouldn't just walk out of the cage.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
I did it. Thanks, guys. I did it. So, you know, he's a guy that we're still kind of at the top of that division. Your remark earlier, and I know you weren't trying to be disrespectful, but like, oh, Anderson Silva's losing to Michael Bisping. Well, dude, he's got the belt, and I know he didn't have it at the time, but that was only 6 months ago. That was 6 months ago he lost to Anderson. You're acting like, oh, man, what a terrible loss for Anderson Silva.
Okay.
Perceptually, that's how, don't tell me how to feel.
I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm telling you perceptually, that's how the world looked at it.
Okay.
Nobody thought that Michael Bisping was going to beat Anderson Silva, and certainly no one thought that Anderson Silva was going to land a flying knee, crumple Michael Bisping, and still somehow lose the fight.
Well, that's because he's not been paying attention to the rules for years. He just goes in there and knocks dudes out.
Right.
Crawling around like a spider.
In the light heavyweight division.
But don't you think, just one quick question. Don't you think that Gegard Mousasi would be a great fight to kind of,
yeah.
All right, is Bisping the champ, or did he kind of fluke his way up there?
And I think Gegard Mousasi is a great test of how Michael Bisping's going to do against the rest of these guys, because Musasi's not clearly proven not an easy get, but he's not a give-me fight.
Yes.
And he's not going to be goaded into the tens.
No, he's not going to try to load up a punch.
He's not
going to
be
going
into
three
these emotional exchanges where Bisping can take advantage of it. It'll be a very technical fight, and I think one that would be a great test of where Bisping is, because if Bisping cannot get past Musasi, he's not getting past the other four guys.
So this is pretty funny, because if you'll listen exactly to last week's podcast, we were talking about the fact that, oh, no, you can't have him jump all these guys. Then he'll jump this way and this way. And then I said, yeah, but once we watch the night of the fights, you never know what he does to Vitor Belfort. And then, well, hey, so here we are.
So here we are.
A week later, let's give him the title shots.
And we were talking earlier about the evolution.
Did he outrank everybody? No, but they're busy. Give him the title shot.
They got stuff to do, so we're going to give him title shot.
There you go.
We talked earlier about the evolution of the light heavyweight division, and it happened on Saturday night as Ovince St. Preux was knocked out in round two by Jimmy Manoa. And I posted
Manoa Jones. If Jones comes back,
and I posted on the Facebook page, Jones exposed, because it took OSP all of the rounds to lose to John Jones.
Right.
Did not take all of the rounds, Jimmy Manoa. So Manoa Jones, I'm down with that if that's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, I think we have to do something like that, depending, you alluded to it earlier, depending on where John Jones goes with this suspension and if he ever gets in front of the commission, and are we a tainted supplement away, or are we just, because I mean, hell, with John Jones, we're talking July was the positive test, right?
Yep.
So by NSAC math, we are going to be 6 months in 2 months. So even if you book John Jones today, you can't have him fight for two more months, right? I'm not even talking suspensions. I'm just talking camps.
Yes.
So you book so, and that's not happening soon. So you're almost halfway through what would be the year, or are we looking at 2 years?
It would be two if he's busted.
He's still got to get, okay. So he's still, I'm just wondering if he wasn't like, oh crap, you know what? I did do something, so I'm just going to put my head down.
I'm just going to hide.
I'm going to ride out the year. Because we've seen guys do that.
Right.
It's like they'll make a big fuss about it until we get to find out. We'll get to the bottom of this and figure it out.
Your boy Nick Diaz, right?
Diaz did it. Silva did it.
Yeah.
Silva did it. Silva was 8 months before he saw the commission. They levied a year on him. He only had to sit out 4 months from that commission hearing, I think.
Yep.
My math might be wrong, but whatever it was 6, 7, or 8 months in. And they backdate it to your test, essentially. So I thought maybe that's what we were getting. But no, with the new drug policy, it's 2 years. So
now,
we'll have to see.
If he proves that the supplement was tainted, you're right. It's 6 months, right?
And my reading of this no tolerance policy still doesn't allow that.
I was just going to say, and it's interesting that you're starting to see all across the MMA spectrum this one line repeated over and over and over again from the commission. The only way to make sure that you don't have anything in your system is to stop taking supplements.
Yeah, this isn't about a ban list or an approved list. This is about you take something, you're ultimately responsible
for it.
And this is not the perfect analogy, but you've seen it in the NFL over the past couple of years, and I'll use it because the NFL's super popular. You see these targeting hits, and you see over and over guys getting, well, I was going for his body, but I worked up when he moved, blah, blah, blah. You know, the NFL said, ultimately, you're responsible for where you hit a guy.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you were trying to go right at his torso and he ducked down or this or that or the other, you're going to catch the flag. Well, what the NSAC seems to be saying, look, if you pop, you pop. Stop taking things. Stop putting powders in everything you eat, you know, and stop taking things because you're ultimately going to be responsible. It's not about somebody's list. It's not about what a manufacturer says and then does something else. It's about you as the fighter in the cage. And if you've got something in your body that shouldn't be there, that's on you ultimately. End of story. And that's a plain reading of this that a lot of people are starting to take away from this, because you told me about this, and so we kind of got off track a little bit. I'm like, well, Brock could do the same thing, and then people got mad, like, Brock can't come back. But if you're saying that something's tainted and you can come back, a lot of people have gone back, though, and said, hey, this really seems like a zero-tolerance policy, though.
Right.
Doesn't seem to matter if somebody ran up to him in the middle of the night and shoved a needle in his ass. That might be the next excuse. I don't know.
We will see. And then the other fight.
Cops are doing all kinds of crazy things nowadays,
yes,
man.
For sure, yes.
They just right in the ass.
All right. The other fight on the main card.
For those
card,
of you listening, I'm showing Eric the motion.
He is doing the needle
just
motion.
Right in the.
Yes. Stefan Struve wins via Darce choke. and calls out the champ because he's got a victory over Stipe Miocic.
Oh, that's right.
So it'd be interesting.
I did not actually see that after the fight.
Be interesting to see how that flushes itself out because, as we were talking about earlier, the heavyweight division is a little bit of a mess. And, you know, you very well could see.
Who would have thought back in, I don't know, what's that, 2011, 2012? That at some point the main event for a UFC on Fuel TV might be the main event for
right.
a heavyweight championship pay-per-view card.
And I'm just looking to see if you've got anything from Kane. Is Kane booked for anything?
I don't know. See, this is why I said we need a fighter's guide here. Everything's booked.
Looks like Kane is booked with Fabricio Werdum at 207. That is the rumor.
Oh, is that the rumor?
Which would leave Stipe open. Stipe's interested in a fight with John Jones. That's what he said in September, but that's not a thing. So it looks like he does not... does not have a dance partner, so you could very well see you could see a Fuel main event of Stefan Struve and Stipe Miocic as your main
Stefan Struve, though, is still sitting at number 12 in the division. I mean, hell, you could talk about Josh Barnett, who never seems to kind of get that title shot, does he?
No.
In the UFC.
Well, I think, when you talk about zero tolerance, he's fighting in very interesting places where those don't seem to be issues.
Well, I know, but I mean, he seems to win every other fight when you count him out, so I don't know.
But he wins them in interesting places where USADA is not a thing.
Okay. I thought USADA's a thing everywhere now.
They're not a thing everywhere, clearly.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what
you're allegedly saying,
I'm
but
not
I have
allegedly
nothing to do
saying
with it.
Anything. I'm actually saying that like there are reasons guys don't fight in the United States if they can avoid it because it's not as crazy. You saw it. USADA doesn't test the employees of the UFC, so there are clearly different rules in Manila than there would be in the United States. Mm. That's why, of course, that card got shelved because they wanted to test the employees of the UFC to make sure that they were not on TRT to do their jobs for Dana White.
I would love if, like, there's just some yoked-ass cameraman, like, for the UFC that would just, like,
Dave Scholler, who, vice president of public relations, he left. He's going to work for the 76ers. Like,
I didn't know that. He probably got tired of getting punched in these fight stare downs.
Because he won't get hit by the basketball.
Because every time Dana's not there, the fighters are like, subs here. Start punching each other.
Start punch Scholler.
It's not nice.
You know, it would be very funny if guys like Scholler are, like, jacked to the gills to do public relations or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, there's a gym there, and there's a lot of dudes around, and there are all those jugs of powder that John Jones
all the powder that people are taking.
Okay, one more quick thing before we go. What about Silva GSP? Dana said that's not happening. After Anderson, wasn't it Anderson's Instagram?
His son's Instagram.
Oh, his son's Instagram.
His son.
Posted a picture of Anderson and GSP as if it were going to happen.
Their new gi line or whatever it is. Like,
is that it?
I don't know. I mean, here's what's interesting. And, you know, and we got burned a little bit this week, and I apologize for that. That was me. Talk MMA, who's one of the insiders that we use, was clearly wrong about the broken nose of Conor McGregor and calling off the fight in New York. We were wrong about that. However, he's right 95% of the time. And so his estimation of what's going on here.
My guess is a source just got blown, though, just so you know.
Could be, yeah.
Because that's usually right on point. And I'm guessing somebody in a camp somewhere decided to blow a source and see would happen if they let out some information, because that sounds like a false flag story if I've ever heard one.
Right. So long story short, he's right about a lot of stuff. This could be a blown source. But what he did say about this that makes a ton of sense is it's clearly not Anderson. It's all on the GSP side because he can't, he doesn't want to ditch the money he's getting from Under Armour. He doesn't want to ditch the money he's getting from Gatorade. And so with Monster and Reebok involved, they can't get past this impasse. And that's the thing that's holding this up.
So you think they can't work around his sponsors, or his sponsors won't let him do things? Oh, the Under Armour Reebok thing would be kind of a big deal to have to wear the kit.
I think that's the biggest point. They would just tell Monster to shut up.
Not just that, but I mean, it's not the same thing, the Gatorade and the Monster deal.
Right.
And they don't have to drink either in the cage.
No.
That'd be a terrible sponsorship idea. Yes. That sounds like something right out of like Cage Rage or something. I don't even want to besmirch Cage Rage. That sounds like something out of like some random like local show.
Yes.
Like instead of water, guys, you got to drink.
When you are done, you are chugging this Monster.
Right, exactly. How about some Rockstar Energy drink? How about we pour that down your gullet for hydration? It's got electrolytes. So it's what plants crave.
The story is that they can't get past the sponsor flap, and that's what's holding this thing up. My guess is, and we haven't talked about this before the show, Ken, but my guess is that you and I would both be in agreement that if they really want to make it happen, they'll figure it out.
I would hope so, because a lot of people are saying, "Oh, it's 7 years too late." Shut up! You're watching this fight. At a certain point, if it gets late enough, it still works.
Yep.
This isn't a situation where two guys cross paths and one is well beyond the other one. They're both in the same essential spot at this point.
And you've been pining and running a campaign for this forever, of this like Masters division where you get to see guys like Henzo Gracie come back, or Hickson, or
Barnett would be good
Barnett
in there, we talked about
Vanderlei
earlier,
or Rich Franklin, or all these guys. You would watch them. They've got 58 to 62 cards a year to fill. You would totally watch meaningless fights.
Every time you say that, it blows me away. Like, I can't comprehend that's how many cards we're running.
58 this year, it'll be 62 next year, right?
Yep.
Like, you tell me you're not going to watch a Legends division on Fox.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. And plus, you keep the guy sharper than like Ken Shamrock, who has to fight every like 5 years, so
right.
He's not really,
Yeah.
He's not really there anymore.
No,
so, okay.
Well, he hasn't been there for a while. Just
all right.
Saying.
So, yeah, the UFC saying that is not the case. You believe that it's a sponsorship issue?
I just think, like I said, Diz has been great to this show, and I you get it wrong, especially when you get a source blown. I think
possibly,
this story makes sense to me in every way possible, because you know that the Under Armour deal is a big deal for GSP,
and the Reebok
deal is a big deal for UFC.
The other thing is, we've been talking now, we've got an Anderson Silva problem. We've got a huge draw, but you don't know who we can fight right now. I thought it was genius to use him at 200. It wasn't fair at all to Daniel Cormier.
No.
But I thought it was a genius use of Anderson Silva, because what else are you going to do with him?
If we're starting the Legends division,
there you go.
Rich is around, right? We could do that
again.
We're
going to do that again? Who would you take at this point?
At this point, I don't know.
Rich is really fresh, but Anderson's got his number.
Yeah, but I mean, Anderson's not so fresh, so
no.
I don't know. In the clinch, would he be as strong?
I don't know. That would be one of the things you'd expect to go last, is
but
that strength.
Every single one of you is lying to yourself if you wouldn't watch that fight.
Rich Franklin, Anderson Silva, three at this point?
Yep.
Maybe Fox Sports.
Anderson's lost two in a row, right?
Two in a row.
It explains itself. I mean...
Okay, I'm with you. That's fine. I'm not arguing against it.
You want Anderson BJ?
BJ? No, I'm done with BJ Penn.
Right.
Thank you. For the memories, BJ Penn, but we can be done. That's
all
cool,
right.
Too.
We said this on Facebook and on Twitter. Want to let you know that because the BJ Penn card was canceled, we essentially get a month off, so we're going to be doing in-depth reporting on Daniel Cormier for the next 3 weeks.
Because Conor McGregor is going to keep his head down long enough.
Every sort of Conor McGregor story you can imagine between now and November 12th. Keep up with everything on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. And if you are listening to this on whatever your preferred podcasting platform, review.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great weekend. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.